Well, good evening. Welcome to the meeting. It's a delight to have our brother Wayne O'Leary with us from SGA. And we welcome you amongst us and pray that you will be a blessing to us and us to you. We look to the Lord in all matters and especially with the preaching of his word throughout the world. So it's a delight to have you with us this evening. It's very hot and sticky in here now, so we need to get on with the meeting. But just one notice, I've been looking at the weather forecast for tomorrow, and frankly it's going to be very hot by midday. I am thinking on health grounds we will cancel the open air tomorrow. The idea of being out in the midday to 1 o'clock heat tomorrow in the open air in the middle of the town is horrifying, if I'm honest, and I think some of us who are a little bit older will probably wilt and suffer as a result. So we will cancel tomorrow's open air on those grounds. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Our gracious and sovereign God, we thank you now that we are able to gather here in this place before you to worship you. That we are able to come around your word, that we are able to come in prayer with one another before you. And especially we thank you for our brother who's come amongst us. We thank you for the work that he represents. We praise you, Lord, for all the things that are being done through SGA, where they are enabling and working alongside national churches and pastors, and the gospel is being preached and your kingdom built. So, Lord, we just pray that you will be amongst us now, and that you will be with us by the Spirit, as you have said. Lord, we ask that what is done here may be done in an attitude of worship. And those who are at home meeting with us, that they too will listen most attentively. And they will know that presence of the Spirit with them. So that all that is said and done might be to your glory. Grant to us, Lord, a mindset to pray and to pray earnestly for the work of the gospel around the world. Lord, that we will have a deeper burden for the preaching of the gospel, we pray, both overseas and here in the UK and even here in Wolverhampton. So Lord, be with us now this evening and help us, we ask, to the glory and the praise of your name. Amen. I want to read just a few verses from Revelation chapter 7. It's great to hear about the ongoing work of the gospel. But Revelation 7 is the end result of the ongoing work of the preaching of the gospel. It's where it leads us to. And John is in the Spirit. It's a Lord's Day morning. And he tells us that after these things I looked and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So reads God's word. What a day that will be to stand with that innumerable throng of people from all tribes, tongues and nations. And to praise with one voice our sovereign Saviour and God. Well, our first hymn, and after this I'll hand over to Wayne, is 604 in Christian Hymns. And those who are here, if you're willing and able, please stand. 604. Love divine, all loves excelling. Joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh, breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find thy promised rest. Take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. End of faith as its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver. Let us all thy grace receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing. Serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing. Glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless may we be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise. Amen. Please be seated. Wayne, thank you.
Well, good evening, and thank you for allowing me to come and share tonight. Thank you, Pastor and church leaders, for letting us have this opportunity just to let you know something of what God is doing in Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and Far East Russia and Mongolia. The work of SGA is sort of growing as more and more places invite us to become involved with what they're already doing. One of the things I really like about SGA, and I've been working with SGA for 10 years now, I can't believe where the time has gone, is that SGA is a servant mission. And what that means is we never look on a map each year and think, where are we going to go this year? Where aren't we working? We always work by invitation. And we never work alongside people and tell them what to do because they're already doing a fantastic job. To be a servant mission means that we go by invitation, and it also means that we serve people when they ask us for help and what kind of help, depending on what they're asking help for. Well, thank you for those of you at home who are joining us tonight. I just want to share a few thoughts from Psalm 46 before we have a little look at what God is doing in the world. Psalm 46 is a psalm that's written on the day of conflict. And it's important for us to remember that context, a psalm that's written for the day of conflict. And it says this, it's a very well-known psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though its mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. What I really like about this psalm is that it's brutally honest about the conditions that we have to live in. And when we examine the generations that have gone before us, since the time this was written, every generation has had a challenge to face, especially when it comes to matters of faith and keeping faithful to God's word. And Psalmist reminds us that in the day of trouble, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In other words, he's never left your side. Psalm 139 reminds us of that, doesn't it? Where can I flee from your presence? In other words, God is always there beside us. And notice the context in which God is always beside us. He says this, therefore we will not fear though the earth should change and though the mountains would slip into the hearts of the sea. That's a strange image, isn't it? But what we need to consider is, in our day and age, there are many things that are changing, that are firmly established. And one of those things is the sanctity of marriage. And the way that that is being changed by governments and other groups, not just in the UK, but around what we would think of as the developing world. Therefore, we will not fear that the earth should change. When you look at the way Christians and Jews are being persecuted at the moment, it's the highest number of people amongst the Jews and the Christians are getting a real bashing. And it goes on, it says, and though the mountains slip into the hearts of the sea, all those things that we're familiar with that have been there throughout the generations, almost like landmarks, seem to be disappearing. And he goes on and he says, though the waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Changes in society that if we could have imagined them 10, 20 years ago, we would have thought of them as unbelievable. Who would ever think that a mountain would suddenly crumble, and yet pillars and mountains in society are crumbling around us. He goes on to say in verses 4 to 7 that there is a river that goes through the city of God that makes her people glad. It's an image of a city that's besieged. And very often when a city is besieged, the enemy tries to cut off the water supply. But here what we notice is, first of all, the water supply has not been cut off. It's fresh and it's flowing. Sometimes we feel besieged in our lives, but the Bible reminds us that there is a river that makes the city glad. Even though we feel besieged, we are nurtured and watered. And what I like is in verse 5, God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved. God will help when the morning dawns. It's almost as if we have to go through the darkest moment of the night, and then the light suddenly starts to break and God moves. And very often we go through dark moments in our lives, and I'm sure you've been through them, and you think, where are you, God, in this circumstance? Sometimes we just have to wait because God knows the right time to move. And then he goes on and talks about the arrogance of the nations. But I want us to think about is verses 8 to 11. And verses 8 is an invitation to come and see what God is doing. Notice what he says, come, behold the works of the Lord. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Despite circumstances and situations changing right across the globe, come and see what God is doing. Because God is always doing something good. And he says this, he wrought desolations to the earth. Verse 9, he makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. That's a strange image when you think of every generation there have been wars. And when we look at wars and conflicts and tribal conflicts, especially going on right across the globe at the moment, it's almost as if, has there been a time like this before? But the biggest war is the war of man's heart towards God. And what we will see tonight is that God is putting an end to the war of man's heart towards himself. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. But it also reminds us that there is a day coming when everything that man has put in place against the things of God will cease. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day when we see the return of Christ. But notice what he says. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. Now, I'm not an expert in ancient Near East warfare, but I do know this, that if you break a bow, it's completely wrecked. You can't duct tape it back together again. You can't super glue it back together again. It loses its flex. It loses its strength. It renders it totally useless. And the psalmist is saying that whatever is being aimed at God's people will be broken, made void. Notice the next image of warfare. He cuts the spear or the javelin in two. I hated sports when I was at school, and I certainly hated javelin. And one of my teachers said to me, Wayne, if you could get an award for being terrible, you would be going for gold. Now, I don't know much about the javelin or the war spear, but I do know this. If you break it or you cut it in two, like the bow, you can't fix it. It's taken its direction. It's taken its flight out of it. So if I throw it at the pastor and it's broken, it's going to miss him and hit somebody else. We need to recognize sometimes that the warfare that we're in could be far worse if we didn't belong to the Lord. Whatever is aimed at God's people, whatever is thrown at God's people, he's going to deal with those things. And then there's the chariot, the famous war chariot. The Egyptians, the Hittites, the Amorites all had their fast pursuit chariots. And in ancient times, people could see from the lookouts what was coming towards them by the dust on the ground. So if there was a widespread low-level dust, then they knew that there were thousands of troops just slowly marching towards them. If there were swirls of dust in the air, then they knew the war chariot was coming and they knew that they were done for. But notice what God says about the war chariot. He's going to burn it with fire. He's going to completely rid its existence. Whatever is aimed at us, whatever's thrown at us, whatever comes against us, God's going to deal with it. Which is why in verse 10, so often we quote that passage, don't we? We put it in little cards to people sometimes, but it's a passage again written for the day of conflict. And verse 10 says, cease striving and know that I'm God. That's a really difficult passage to put into practice at the moment, isn't it? To cease striving. The only way I can explain it, the Hebrew, it literally means to let go, to relax. When I left school, I trained as a naval architect, a marine engineer for 7 years, and then did other things with the Royal Institute of Naval Architects and other things. And if you're into woodwork, you'll know what this is. This is a spokeshave, and it's used in traditional boat building and traditional naval architecture. And when I was first learning to use one of these, I made a real mess of it, and I was grinding away, and the wood was just coming off in massive strips. And I remember my tutor coming over to me, he said, You've got to stop striving with it. The more you strive, the more you're going to make a mess. And he said, let your hands limp and let them hang down. So I did that. And then he did a strange thing. He came from behind me and put his arms around me. And he put his arms and hands on my wrists and said, right, let's do it together. And I thought, wow, I've got the hang of this now. And I thought, wow, I could really do this. And he said, it was only because you stopped striving and let me work through you, you started learning how to do a good job. I wonder if the psalmist is saying that to us tonight. Just relax. Cease striving. Let the work of the Holy Spirit embrace you and work through you so you can live for him as you should do. I know, and you can probably testify to yourselves, that when we're striving, we can't live a life that is right. Notice what he says. He says, cease striving and know that I'm God. Now, this isn't just a head knowledge. We need a head knowledge of God's word, but this is an experiential word. The Hebrew word is yada. And the first time we hear this experiential word is when God put man and woman together in the Garden of Eden. And it says that Adam knew Eve. It means Adam experienced Eve. It's a very beautiful word in the Hebrew language. It means that Adam couldn't get any closer to Eve than he did by experiencing her. It's interesting that the psalmist says, just let go and get close to God. I wonder if we need to do that afresh in our lives. We just need to let go and draw close to God. And allow him to touch us. Cease striving and know that I am God. And then he says, I will be exalted in the nations. And we're going to see that tonight in a minute. That throughout the pandemic, God is at work through the nations. And I wonder, as the psalmist is scribbling this down, remember when he wrote it down, there weren't any chapters and verses. I wonder if he couldn't contain himself by the time he came to verse 8, which doesn't exist, but it's still there. Come and see what God is doing. And that's exactly what I want you to come and see tonight. Come and see what God is doing. Well, as I said, during the COVID time, there's one word that's been going around a lot, isn't there? And that's the word unprecedented. I still can't spell that word, but at least I know what it means these days. We're living in unprecedented times. Now, we'll see that on our news media, but I want to suggest that we're living in unprecedented times with what God is doing. It's easy to forget that. And I want to encourage you, just want to draw attention, first of all, you probably can't see those pictures very well. Do have a look on the SGA's website. There's a new website that's up and running. There's videos. There's all sorts of things that you can have a look at. You can subscribe to SGA's Mission Magazine. You can either receive that electronically or you can have that put through your post if you like the printed form. And to be honest, I don't like electric books and electric things. I like pictures and paper. So if that's you, then you can sign up and have that sent directly to you. Online, you can also see SGA's bookstore. Lots of different things on there. One of the best ways to pray for SGA is to learn more about what SGA is doing in different countries. And one of those ways is to get a good book and to read into it. You can also sign up for something called Inside Story. And this will come directly to your smartphone, your tablet, your computer once a month, just giving you little snippets and little paragraphs of what God is doing in different parts of the world and different testimonies. And I would encourage you to look online and sign up for that. If you missed it, SGA had a short one-evening conference back in March, and we had guest speakers from different parts of the world. That's still available on YouTube if you go on SGA onto YouTube, or if you go onto SGA's website, you can see that directly and watch that. Before we look at what God is doing in the world and consider what the psalmist said, come and see the works of the Lord. One thing to bear in mind, and this will be my opening statement for tonight. Every country that SGA serves in has its own unique cultural conditions and circumstances. Whether that's in Eastern Europe, Central Asia. It's warm tonight, isn't it? To be honest, I really love the warmth. I don't like the cold. In Kazakhstan, it can get minus 38 or plus 38. Or even hotter than that. And I actually prefer the heat in places like Kazakhstan, because it's a dry heat, so you don't notice it quite as much. Here it's really muggy, isn't it? And same as in the cold. But each country that SGA works in has its own unique circumstances, and I'm going to share with you some of those things. I can't remember if the last time I was with you I showed you a video about the Kazakh Bible Project. It's probably going back a bit since I was last with you because of COVID and other things that were going on. But SGA was supporting the launch of and the translation of a Kazakh Bible. In Kazakhstan, which is a huge country, as you can see on this map here, covers different time zones and lots of different cultures and ways of doing things and thinking things, but it's predominantly a Muslim country, which makes being a Christian really, really difficult. But they've never had a Bible in their own language until recently. The only Bible they had available to them was a Russian Bible, because until communism fell, Russia was kind of, shall we say, politically correctly, looking after Kazakhstan. Whether the Kazakh people thought they were being looked after by the Russians is a different thing. But the only Bible they had was a Russian Bible, and so that was the Bible in the language of an oppressor. And so to have a Bible in your own language for the first time is an absolutely amazing, exciting thing. Can you imagine what it would be like if you and I didn't have a Bible in our own language? Well, we're so blessed. History passed with people like William Tyndale and others who worked and fought to make it possible that you and I would have a translation in our own language. The average person in the UK, the average churchgoer, has at least three Bibles. I don't know how many you've got, but can you imagine what it would be like if you had no Bible? And so SGA was privileged to support the translation and the publication of a Kazakh Bible. And here it is being launched just before lockdown. It would have been lovely if SGA had been able to go and visit them at this time, his it being launched in a church. You can't see this picture very well, but there's one man here who's smiling. There's another guy here with a Bible in his hand. And he's absolutely absorbed in the fact that for the first time he has God's word. Lives were dedicated to proclaiming God's word. Again, you can't see the picture too well, but during the church service, people gave thanks and they held the Bibles up high. And they dedicated the word of God, but they also said, here we are, we commit ourselves afresh to you. That wouldn't be a bad thing for me to do each day, to get hold of God's word, to read it and say, Lord, I submit myself, my life afresh to you and to your word. And that's exactly what they were doing there. So for the first time, God's word is in the hands of the preacher and the pastor. For the first time, God's word is in the hands of the children's workers and the teenage workers. For the first time, God's word in the Kazakh language is being put into the hands of ministry to women. For the first time, God's word in the Kazakh language is being put into the hands of young people. The next generation have the word of God. There's one man who's an evangelist in one of the Stan countries, and he's been working with a Muslim family for quite some time. And as soon as the Muslim family heard that the Kazakh Bible was available, they invited him to a meal. And you can see, well, you can't see too well, but around this big table of food is the whole family of this man just here. And he said this, "I have always wanted a Bible, but I didn't want a Russian Bible." Now, I'm not saying that every Muslim family is open to God's word, but what an amazing start, a sense of excitement, a sense of expectation, and beginning to see little things happening and little pieces of light opening up to people's lives. The Director General of the United Bible Societies, and SGA doesn't work with the United Bible Societies, but I thought this was quite an interesting quote that they put forward. "A Bible in your own language brings a significant leap forward in gospel work. A Bible in your own language brings a significant leap forward in gospel work." To be honest, to my shame, I take it for granted that I just have God's word. I just take it for granted that I have it for the English language. And every day as I read it, sometimes I lose the expectation that it doesn't just touch my life, but as I share my neighbours with God's word, it can touch their lives as well. United Bible Societies have said this, "By 2033, we could see all languages having scripture." 2033. That's still a long time away, isn't it? But it's within our grasp. It's within a generation. It's within some of our lifetimes. We need to pray and work towards getting God's word into other people's languages and hands and tongues and tribes and nations. There's also plans for a children's Bible, and that's underway at the moment as well, to get God's word into people's hearts and minds. Well, during COVID, SGA has been supporting medical missions teams in Ukraine and Moldova. These are some of the poorest countries in Europe, especially Moldova. Up until recently, Moldova didn't have opportunity to get a vaccine. It doesn't belong to Russia. It doesn't belong to the EU. It's been bribed and cajoled by both sides. Both sides are bad as each other, really. And so they've had no vaccine, but we've brought this to the attention of our local MPs and the government has put Moldova on the COVAX vaccine program. But here's a short video just to let you know what SGA's been up to. Come and see the works of the Lord. And all of that has been going on while we've been trying to work out our complex lives here in the UK. And there in Moldova and Ukraine, Christian doctors and nurses who have formed medical mission teams are going into some of the most difficult parts of Europe. Please remember them in your prayers. Well, SGA has also been supporting the poor in Moldova. And again, here's a short video which will best explain what's been going on in Moldova.
The global pandemic has left a growing number of the elderly and widows in great need. State pensions in Moldova barely cover bills, so the elderly must rely on other sources of income, usually their children. However, the lockdown left many jobless and unable to travel abroad to find work. SGA's Widows Project provides vital support at this time and will help up to 1,000 needy people this year. The elderly are helped in three main ways. Firstly, through the provision of food and other basic hygiene products. These are distributed through home visits and specially organized church meetings. Secondly, in the provision of medicines. Although medical consultations are free for the elderly, medicines are not, and may be too expensive for some. With SGA support, they are able to have these medicines. And finally, in the provision of winter fuel. Moldovan winters can be very cold, and homes are commonly heated by burning wood in a stove. Although wood is a cheap fuel, it is still beyond the means of some widows. With the help of SGA and willing young people, widows receive a supply of prepared firewood. For many years, SGA's Widows Project has been an important means of helping many needy people in countries like Moldova. During the pandemic, it has proved vital. Will you consider supporting this ministry?
Well, through supporting local churches on the ground in Moldova, then many widows have been supported throughout the pandemic and over the winter period. The average pension in somewhere like Moldova for somebody who had been a farmer or a labourer would be 38 euros a month. So I'm not sure what that is in pounds. It's probably about 34 pounds a month to live on. When you think that heating and lighting and fuel is almost the same price as it is over here in the UK, it means they've got a very, very tight living existence out there. But what it has done is create an amazing opportunity for the local church to better get alongside people who would otherwise never even contemplate holding a conversation with Christians. And some of these elderly people are some of the most hardened people towards the gospel, because they've lived through the Second World War, they've lived through communism, and now they're struggling to live through poverty. What an opportunity for local church. Well, SGA also supports pastors on the ground. And one of those pastors is Pastor Ramus, and he lives in the northern part of Romania. And his work includes working with people who live on the rubbish dump. Now, if these were pictures of South America or somewhere in India, we would expect to see pictures like this. But these are parts of the countries that make up the EU, and these could be taken anywhere within an EU Eastern European context, whether that's Slovakia, Bulgaria, Moldova or Romania. But these pictures are taken in Romania from a group of people who actually lived on the rubbish dump, and that's how they had their existence. And so it's really important to support leaders on the ground who are doing excellent gospel work. And through many, many years of hard work, working amongst the Roma people, and it takes a lifetime sometimes to work with Roma people, a church was established on the edge of the rubbish dump, and many of the people that you see in these earlier photographs are now standing here dressed and in their right mind. It reminds me of the stories in the Gospels when there were people who were so disturbed with life's difficulties that they were not clothed or in their right mind properly. And as Jesus came and made a difference, he didn't just clean them up, but he cleaned them up on the inside as well. And so here you see a worshipping community who live on the edge of the rubbish dump, who no longer steal, who no longer eat the food from the rubbish dump. And God has made an enormous difference. Or I could take you to Hungary, to Pastor Mark Sipos. Pastor Mark Sipos is an academic. He's a microbiologist. His wife is a doctor. Really, really clever people. And they were working in one of the universities in Hungary and planted a church there. And so here's a church of students, faculty members. It's a little bit different if we go back to the people who lived on the rubbish dump who can't read or write. And now we've got people who are really, really intelligent. I'll just point a couple of people out. There's a lady on the end here. She's doing a PhD into how flies transmit diseases. We've got computer scientists, we've got doctors, we've got microbiologists, we've got people on the cutting edge of technology, really, really clever people. Remember the psalmist, come and see what God is doing, and God's reaching people who can't read or write, and God's reaching people who are so clever, very often they think they're too clever to know God, and yet God is touching people's hearts. Well, this church in Hungary, Pastor Mark Sipos realized that as these people are saved, they need good grounding. So a Bible school was established. And it's very often my opportunity, my privilege to go and teach in the Bible schools. When COVID isn't around, I would find myself overseas with SGA teaching in the many mission schools that are scattered around. And this one's absolutely fantastic. And part of the vision is that each person who comes to Christ goes through the Bible school, gets a really good grounding in the Word of God, so they can be better equipped to serve in the church. But just to imagine that once they graduate, they might not stay in that area. They might go to another part of Hungary to get a job, or they might go to another part of the world to get a job. What will they do if they can't find a church? Well, here, they'll get the tools and the equipment to be able to go and plant a church anywhere in the world. Or anywhere in the world, if they see a church struggling somewhere, they can then go along and work alongside it and strengthen it and encourage it. And again, all this has been going on during the pandemic. Hungary is quite a difficult country in many respects. It's a predominantly Catholic country. You can't see this picture too well. But Queen Mary has got a big crown on her head. And this statue is actually higher than the floor here to the ceiling. This is a really massive statue. And you can see how much of a role Jesus plays, because he's really tiny. He's just a baby. So the whole Catholic thinking is, if you want to come to God, you need to talk to Mary. And that's the context for evangelicals to work in. Having said that, if you've watched the news, you will see that Hungary's having a real bashing at the moment because it wants to state a biblical marriage. In other words, it wants to sustain what it says is biblical marriage, the marriage between one man and one woman. And it's having real problems with the EU courts over that at the moment. So do pray for Hungary, because it's, although it's not a belief system as we would understand it, their heart is still in the right place, wanting God's way for their nation. What an opportunity for evangelicals to be a mouthpiece in that context. So do pray for the churches in Hungary, especially for that one that meets in the university complex and those academics. There's another pastor that SGA supports, and this is Gohochi, again in Romania. And Gohochi is a shepherd, or a pastor. And what I mean by that is Gohochi is very, very poor. And during the daytime, he's a shepherd, so he looks after sheep. But they're not his own sheep. He can't afford his own sheep, so he looks after other people's sheep. And then during the evening and during the weekend, he has a church and he looks after people. This is Gohochi's family, very poor, very humble people. And in the centre here, you can't see the picture too well, but one of his daughters is both blind and deaf and has all sorts of learning difficulties. Now, when SGA heard about Gohochi and his heart for the Lord and his passion to reach the gypsy people, he's one of them. We thought, well, we need to get behind him and encourage him and strengthen him and maybe give him some support so he can afford to sustain his family and work in the Roma communities. And here's some of the communities that he works in. This is his church, or one of the churches that he has in the villages. They don't have a building. But when it's a day like this, then they'll get benches out. So here's the benches, and they'll just sit on benches and worship the Lord. Very, very poor people. Many of them can't read or write. Like this man here, who's got seven children. He lost his wife through illness about 3 years ago. But he doesn't complain. He just says, life is difficult, but God is faithful. What an attitude. You know, I need to learn that one myself. Life is difficult, but God is faithful. But if it wasn't for Gohochi, who would tell him about Jesus? Who would share faith to those Roma communities if it wasn't for Gohochi? I really love going to the gypsy places in Romania. They're dirty, they're smelly, there's fleas, there's ticks, there's lice. And that's not just on the animals, that can be on the people. So they'll give you a hug, and then afterwards when you go away, you'll think, well, I've got a lot of visitors on me. But despite that, I love being with the gypsy people. There's something about them when they come to know the Lord. But if I wanted to become a missionary to the gypsy people, it will probably take me 10 years to become fluent enough in Romanian and some of the other gypsy languages to be effective. It will probably take me 15 years to be accepted by them, where their suspicion levels grow down when they learn to accept me. What a better option is to support one of their own who's already a strong believer witnessing to them. And that's the way SGA works. SGA is a partner in mission, a partner in what other people are doing. SGA is also working in Far East Russia. And again, I would encourage you to have a look on the SGA website to learn more about that. Time doesn't allow me tonight to explore some of the issues going on in Far East Russia. Far East Russia is amongst some of the most some of the most difficult places in the world. It's either really, really hot or really, really cold. And there are some people in Far East Russia who have never, ever heard about Jesus. Like this family here. We would probably class them as a pagan family in the sense that they don't have any formal religion, but they will worship their dead ancestors. And so they will try and appease their dead ancestors. When they go fishing on the lake to appease the spirits in the lake, they will pour vodka into the lake. Seems like everywhere you go in Russia, you can find vodka. And that enables them to have better fishing. Well, my kind of thinking is if you pour enough vodka into a river, the fish are going to notice and they'll become inebriated and come to the surface and, hey, we get lots of fish. But these people need to hear about Jesus. They're in a lost hope. They have no hope whatsoever in circumstances that are very, very difficult. And if you look online, you'll see that there are several young pastors who speak Russian, who are from the Russian cultures, who have taken their families and moved to Far East Russia. And in some places, the only way that you can get to these places is by aeroplane or by a really heavy duty vehicle. And so planes are being supplied, and some of these young pastors are having to be trained to learn how to fly an aeroplane to get into places to plant a church. Now that sounds exciting, doesn't it? But during the daytime of summer, it's okay. But can you imagine during the wintertime trying to land an aeroplane in conditions like this? Really, really difficult. Takes a lot of skill. So do have a look online and see what God is doing in Far East Russia. By the ones and the twos, churches are being planted and people are coming to the Lord. And children's work is being established. Some exciting things. Remember what the psalmist said, come and see the works of the Lord. And right at the very far ends of the earth, God is starting to proclaim his name. There's another project that SGA is involved with. We call it Sending Little Missionaries. And again, you can see this online. But it involves getting radios out into places like the Stand countries, or we would say Central Asia. That would include places like Mongolia. These places are really difficult to be a believer. And in some places, it's really difficult to get a Bible into these places or to speak the name of Jesus. So how on earth do you reach people in cultures that are so different to our own, but they still need to hear about Christ? Well, one of the ways is getting radios to them. And I'm going to show a short video that will explain the project. Special about these radios? These aren't just ordinary radios, they're not M&S radios. These are really special radios because you can put a micro SD card into a slot into the back. If you've got a smartphone or a tablet, you'll know that you can upgrade the memory. I wish I had an SD slot in the side of my head and I could upgrade my memory. But what that means is that each of these radios can be preloaded with Bible teaching, testimonies, worship times, and so they're then sent out ready, full of biblical stuff for people to tune in and to listen to. The work, as you can imagine, is so huge and so expensive that that's why Transworld Radio and SGA have joined together to make this project known, but actually to support the project to make sure that people can hear the word of Christ for the first time in a lot of places, in places that are really isolated. And many of these cultures they might not have tellies, but they love sitting around a fire or around food, especially telling stories to each other, talking about religion, talking about philosophy, talking about life, looking at the stars, almost like an Old Testament kind of scene. And many of them would tune into the radio and listen to programs. So this is an ideal kind of way of reaching them. Now, as well as having programs already put onto a micro SD card and then put into these radios, each radio has the capability, so when they can pick up the Transworld Radio programs, they can then record those and play them back either to other believers or to people who don't yet believe. So it's an amazing opportunity to get the word of God out. And again, this has been going on during the pandemic, and God is at work. Well, one of our last projects that I want to highlight is something that we call Project Phoebe, and it's highlighting women's role within Christian mission. And right across the lands that SGA work in, we see ladies who are taking a key role in children's work, in drug addiction roles, and all sorts of other really, really key important ministries. And so this next video will just share with you some of the roles which believing women are involved with.
Throughout the Bible and church history, women have played a vital role in God's kingdom. One such woman was Phoebe, who served the church in Cenchreae.
I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchreae. She has been a patron of many, and of myself as well.
Paul's commendation of Phoebe, in Romans 16, inspired SGA to launch the Phoebe Project. The aim of the Phoebe Project is to commend to you some remarkable women and the ministries they serve. Such as Boba Havrilova in Slovakia, who is a missionary to a Roma community. And Marina Tsapkova, who serves as a missionary to the Kharkiv people of Central Russia. Then there are significant ministries that are led by women. Examples are Preventis in Romania, working with teenage addicts. Grace Shelter in Ukraine, providing a home for orphan children. The Social Kitchen in Bulgaria, serving nourishing meals to Roma children and other needy people. And Hospice Emmanuel in Romania, providing end-of-life care for the terminally ill. As Paul encouraged the believers at Rome to support Phoebe, it is our desire that you will want to support these women and their ministries. They need prayer and financial support. For more information, please visit our website or contact your local Phoebe rep.
We are hoping sometime in October this year, if we're allowed to, depending on how things look, in getting a couple of ladies over from different places to come and share some of their work in different churches. But we'll keep you informed if that happens. One of them will be a lady called Violeta Faragai from Romania, who has a drug addiction clinic and other addiction kind of work from a Christian perspective. And it's just amazing to hear what she is up to. But we'll keep you posted as far as that is concerned. Well, that's just a short little snippet, a little postcard, if you like. Information overload, definitely. And just to let you know something of what's been going on during the COVID pandemic for your consideration for prayers. Thank you for having us today. Thank you for your prayers and your support of SGA. This is obviously God's work, but it's also your work, because for many, many years this church has supported and prayed for SGA. And although you may not be able to physically go and visit these people and see them, you're very much there in their hearts. Please continue to pray for them. Well, before we have a time of prayer, did you want some questions at this point? Okay. Well, I think I'll close this bit by reading a hymn, if that's okay. And the hymn is a well-known one. It's "Thine Be the Glory," and I can't think of a more fitting hymn to finish this part of our service together, to give thanks to God. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory Thou over death has won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave clothes where Thy body lay. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory Thou, O death, has won. Lo, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly He greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing. For her Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou or death has won. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is naught without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou our death has won. Amen.
So our sovereign God, we thank you for all that you are doing. We thank you for all that we have seen this evening. And we ask that as we go from this place, as we switch off at home, it will be with those faces, those names, those situations ringing in our hearts and our minds. Burden us with them, Lord. Grant that we might be those who would support them more effectively. And may your name be glorified here and there. For your name's sake, we ask it. Amen.